Hello and welcome to Shades and Layers. I'm your host, Kutlwano Skhosana Richie. My guest today is Boniswa Mezlane, founder of the South African online culture and lifestyle magazine, Nunush. Alongside her publication, Boniswa is a well-known public relations professional who names many African and other international A-listers as current and former clients. She does this work as the co-founder of a PR and communications agency called Azania Public. Not only that, but she's part of the marketing team of the iconic Johannesburg-based music radio station, Kaya FM. So with all these projects on the go, you can imagine that we had a lot to talk about. And the one thing that's always stood out for me about Nunush is its dedication to the stories of changemakers. No scandals, no gossip, just a celebration of the people shaping a culture. In our interview, Boniswa and I talk about how it all started and, of course, how it's going. We discuss leadership strategies and naturally managing yourself as a leader. I caught up with Boniswa at the end of February when payment to contributors at Nunush was due, and this is where you can join our conversation. Without further ado, here's Boniswa telling her own story.
We've got to, now it's month end, I have to pay people.
Right, yeah. Ooh, I know that stress.
I'm not having a good time right now because I have to pay people. But when I hear stories, I'm just like, oh my goodness. Nomvelo wrote a beautiful story about this journalist from ENCA yesterday, and I said, oh my goodness, this is such a well-written story. It's so beautiful. But these are the things that make it all worth it. And I know that a lot of publications are shutting down, and it's. But luckily for us also, we are online. We're not print. So it's a lot better. It's a lot easier for us because it's a click. So it's not as expensive as maintaining print.
Right. And who's the profile of a guest, first of all, and then on the other side, who's reading the publication?
The profile of guest. We are very story-driven. Very story-driven, not celebrity-driven at all. So we don't really care for the big people. We want the story. We want to know what impact you're making. And also, there are certain questions we have to answer. What are we communicating? And why does it matter? You know? So those things govern who we get to have on our covers. And I know we just shot something now with Vanessa Marawa, and she was like, Bonnie, why would you want to have me? And I said, why not? She's like, people will say, I'm a husband. And I'm just like, No, your story is worth telling. So we go for the story and not necessarily how many likes or how many followers you've got on social media. That matters to us. So who you are and what you bring and, you know, the impact you've got in society, that's also a very big thing for us. And I think Mondays and Wednesdays, we go, you know, profile people that are doing amazing things. They don't even have to be known, but we go find those people and to say, here are your flowers. You're doing an amazing job at whatever field you're in. Who reads the publication? It's mostly women. It's mostly women aged between 22 and 45. But also, strangely enough, we have a lot of sports people, a lot of men.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah. That's interesting.
So our fifth cover was Rolandi Mokoena, who's the Sundowns coach.
Yeah, yeah. You're biased. I know you're a Sundowns fan, Wena.
I am. But listen, I love all the sporting clubs. I love all the clubs. I do. But also for me, it was so important to tell his story. When he said yes to the cover, he was our first male on the cover, and I could not believe it when he said yes.
Right.
I kept going, I was just like, did he really say yes? And at the time, he was 35. I'm just like, you're 35. You're the youngest coach in the PSL. So successful, so humble. And also, people look up to you. You've got, and also, you have this rich legacy where he comes from. His father was a soccer player. His uncle is Jomo Sono. His grandfather was a business as well. So it was like a beautiful thing to tell. And so he opened the floodgates of sports fanatics.
That's wonderful. That's great.
And from then on, we just had to keep going. Bringing in more.
So you're story driven. You don't go for the celebrities, self-funded. But, you know, cash flow is a thing. Do you have advertisers or, you know, you just do special editions that are sponsored? You know, what's your business model?
So we've got special editions that are sponsored. And we do have a few advertisers now on the website. And also we do like paid promotions on social media as well. So that helps. It's been such a disappointing, I don't know if disappointing is the right word, but like it's been such a disheartening journey. Sometimes it's just like, is really even worth it? Is this something that I really want to carry on with because it's very costly? You sometimes will have brands come in and be like, oh, I want to do this campaign and I want to do this, but they don't really want to pay for the work, you know?
Oh, so man, I can't believe that's still a struggle. Come on.
They don't want to pay. Sometimes they want to give you a lot more work to do with very little. So But I am grateful because I've also been very picky. I love the direction we've taken as a publication, and I don't want to dilute that. And I think for me, it's been over a year now with all our covers, and been very picky with who we collaborate with. And I didn't want people to say, I'm paying you, so I don't want a particular person on the cover, or I want a certain person who may not necessarily suit or fit our profile, because also shared values are such a thing for me. I don't want to have people that are abusers on the platform. I don't want
Absolutely.
To have people on the website, on the site. I don't want to have any kind of people that are harmful to others. So it's very important to still stick to that. In as much as yes, I do need the money, but I'm also very, very aware that not every money is good money. So the paid partnerships do help, and also the collabs with the brands. Yeah.
And do you intend to remain free or?
You never know. I bumped into this other lady. She used to work for News 24 many years ago. And I just loved what she was wearing. And we started talking. And she says to me, oh, I've seen this publication before. And I said, yeah, that's mine. And she's like, oh, they're going to buy it from you. And I was like, oh, she's like, yeah, they'll buy it from you. But if you take my advice, just sell it, you know, to someone else, like just take dollars. And I said, yes, ma'am. Absolutely.
Right.
It's something that I toy with, but I don't necessarily want to lose the essence of what we've got.
Right. Right.
Yeah. But I'm open to partnering. I'm open to, you know, seeing more people come in.
Right. Okay. Yeah. All right. So that's a possibility. Let's see. I love this. I love this. But, you know, your portfolio within the media, as a media person, media/ entertainment person, is quite broad. You also mentioned your publicity company. Can you tell me how you got into that line of work?
So after graduation, I worked for a production company, three short films. I was doing wardrobe and styling and that whole thing, art direction. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I went on to write for a magazine called Rissi Africa. It's then that I got to...
Oh, yeah.
Yes, Rissi Africa was in Zinga Kunda.
Cool. Yeah.
So I worked for them. And after, I think in that time of working for that magazine, I got to do a lot of music stories. Black Coffee and his company, they were like, okay, cool, let's see what you can do for us. And I didn't know what to do. I mean, it's a record company. I've never done PR before. All I know is that I can write. And they were like, okay, cool, so let's go. And that's where I cut my teeth in terms of like publicity. And because I'd now been a lot of journalists in the industry, I'd been going to all the events, I knew what to do. After that, I went to work for Total Exposure, a PR company. That was my university.
I know those guys, yeah.
That was my proper training
An institution.
Ground. They taught me everything I know, and I was thrown in the deep end. I remember there was a time where I was like running 5 accounts alone, and I was just like, oh my goodness, I'm having so much fun, but I'm drowning. It's all fun. And also, I did love the balance because I wanted to... Social change is such an important thing for me, and I wanted to retain that side of me. So they were able to see the things that I'm passionate about. I love entertainment and I still love, you know, the community work. So they gave me like funds that would balance me out, and I was happier with that. So after leaving them, I thought, okay, cool. It's been lovely. Now I can do my own thing. Because from then, from total exposure, I was already like getting offers from people like, please do my PR. And I said, no, I would not be able to do it because I'm contracted to this company. So after I had left, then I was able to call them and say, okay, now we can talk. And right. That's how it was formed. Yeah.
Yeah. And when was this? When did you take that leap? Yeah.
I leave TE at in 2015. Mm-hmm. 2016, I was floating. I was freelancing. 2017, I then said, okay, cool. I'm starting my own thing. And I did it.
Perfect. Really nice. Yeah. You mentioned working with Black Coffee. And I think you've got some other A-listers in there.
What a few.
Yeah. How do you choose your clients?
It's mostly referrals. Really, mm-hmm. It's people coming to me to say, hey, I need this. Would you be able to help me? And I say, okay, let's see. But I'm also like the way I operate with the magazine and how selective I am about who gets to be featured and be on the cover. It's how I also work, in my publicity space. I have to be a fan of your work. I mm-hmm. have to have interest in the work that you do to be able to sell you, because my job now is to go out there and make you shine and make you sellable and make you amazing. And if I don't believe in the brand, if I don't believe in what I'm talking about, no one is going to buy it. So that's how I get to choose it. It's not about the, how big a star you are. I know I've worked with T.I. And I've worked with Megan Thee Stallion. I've done mm-hmm. Nicki Minaj's concert. I've done Casper, Nasty C, all of these big people. And also a lot of the musical acts, they come from the record companies. So I do work with Universal Music. So then right. they will find artists according to, the release dates that they've got. So the likes of Kelly Kumalo, I've worked with, Nasty C, Casper, those are people that come with the label.
Right.
So those are people that come with the label. So there's another agency called Africa Creative Agency. They look after Tyler now. They look after Nasty C. They look after Rolene. Nice. So those people. So that's how I also got to work with T.I. and Megan Thee Stallion through them. Yeah.
Right. What fun.
How about stress? How about that?
Oh, but yes. You must enjoy it.
It's fun. But a lot of Big babies, but it's a lot of fun.
We know.
Yeah. You go home and you're just like, oh my goodness.
Yeah. My guest today on Shades and Layers is Boniswa Meslane, founder of the online lifestyle and culture publication Nunush, as well as the public relations agency Azania Public. Up next, we talk about leadership style, especially when you are a young leader, the importance of cultivating soft skills, mentorship, and what it means to make an impact and to be a sustainable business.
Yeah.
So you've got these two organizations that you are leading. How would you describe your leadership style?
Ooh. I think I'm more a leader than a manager. I'm a creative. I see things in color. I paint pictures. I see, I've got ideas. I think I've evolved over the years. I think there were so many learnings, I mm-hmm. would think that I was the cool boss, but then turns out I'm not. and then sometimes I'm just like, okay, cool. But I think also because I've taken bits from people that have led me before. Mm-hmm. There was a lady, Diane Chidrawi, who was my boss at Total Exposure. Lovely lady, very strict also. And I think mm-hmm. I've got those qualities as well. My boss now, Colin Lowe, also very easygoing, at the same time, very strict. So, mm-hmm. I'm the same. So we can have a good time, but let's get the work done. Let's give quality. Let's show up. And also, I think if you are in the business that I'm in, you will understand that this is not just a job, it's a lifestyle. If something happens to a client at 3 a.m., you can say, no, I'm sleeping. You wake up right. and you do what you want. So yeah. It's a job that requires you to show up all the time and you can't have your phone off. You cannot say, oh, it's a public holiday, I'm going to, it's those things. Something can disrupt you.
It's unusual hours, yeah.
Absolutely, yes. So it just needs you to be adaptable. I'm very particular about things, very particular about how things must be done. And I get frustrated when things are not done because you've been allocated a time and you've got enough time to do this. And I think because everything that I ask of you is something that I've done that I can do, you know?
Yeah, yeah. What are your aspirations in that area? What else would you like to develop as a leader?
I think I want to be more patient. I'm not patient. I think I want to be more patient, more understanding. I am not patient, but also I think we live in a different era, Kutlano, where people have mental health issues and they vocalize them. And sure. I have the same issues that they have. So I also try to be a lot kinder. You know, mm-hmm. I try to be a lot kinder. I may not be happy about something, but I need to be kind enough when I convey it. I may not be happy about the delivery, but I have to find a way that's palatable, that's not going to harm you, you know. Yep. So I think those are the learnings. Those are things that are very important to me to learn to be a lot more patient and, yes, still demand quality, still want the best out of the person, but, you know, be kinder.
Isn't it amazing how we are moving more and more into the softer mm-hmm. side of humanity when it comes to running organizations?
Yeah, 100%. And this is something that wasn't really there before for us in our time. So now no one cared how you felt. You just had to show up and do the job. And this generation now is... I don't feel okay. I'm going home and you just have to, you know, to deal with it.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. That just takes me in so many directions.
It's hard. But I think all of them, it's been difficult because I've been leading people that are in the same age group as me. So Sometimes we'll be in the same social settings. Sometimes we'll know the same friends, we'll have the same friends, or whatever the case may be. Socially, we are connected. And now to have to still say, I want the report at 3 p.m., thank you very much. You know?
That's hard. Yeah. I mean, I remember we were very young when we did Black Rage. Yeah. So, you know, these were our peers. We were all dancing together one time and, you know, the following day, everybody has to show up at the office and, you know.
But how are you guys doing it then? How are you still able to maintain that balance where you are out in groove together, but the next day you're showing up and you demand excellence of each other?
I honestly think that was one of the hardest things. That was one of the hardest aspects of the job because, yeah, we were all participating in the same culture. And it was essential that we were also participating, right, in order to create the things that we did create. But I think that was one of the hardest parts of the job. And I think we did have a little bit, I think some people were disgruntled, and those who were disgruntled, of course, left because it was hard. We were the HR, we were the friends, we were the, so, you know, it's hard to, it's hard to balance all of that, yeah.
It's really hard. And you guys blessed us with Street Journal.
Now, those were fun days. Those were really, really, really fun days. Yeah, I mean, that was one of the things that was hard to run, right? Because everyone's the same age and you're out at these events, you're reporting and, you know, 1 minute you're chit-chatting. Next it's like, hey, dude. You got to get this together.
with both platforms. I've got Sisonge for Azania. Sisonge is much than me, but in a very interesting way because I'm told I'm stricter, but Sisonge is the person who's going to hold you accountable. Like, I want this, but I suppose her delivery is nicer than mine. she's like, I want this, but she's soft. And I'm not the softer version, but she does a great job of managing things. And
people play different roles, right?
I always say to her, please run with it because I avoid conflict. So you just do what you need to do. And Celine does things with the magazine as well. Yeah.
Right. No, that's great. And that brings me to the aspect of social impact because you mentioned mental health as one of the things. And, you know, when I speak about sustainability on the podcast, it's usually with a broad view. It's about how you treat people, how you make money, you know, also just what kind of legacy you're leaving, right, with your actions. So, you know, how does it land to you when I say, is Nunush a sustainable entity?
It is. It absolutely is. And I think because of the legacy that I want to leave with it, the impact that I want to have on people, it then makes it that. I think if it was something that I think I care more about the community and serving. My life is all about serving other people. From a peer perspective, from marketing here at Kaya, everything is around, is centered around other people and how to make them better and how to make them look good. So there will always be a need for that. And because there is always a need for that, these platforms are sustainable. So Nunush is sustainable in that regard. So there's always somebody who's got a need who I can, who's still, you know, and also now people are starting to open up about, you know, investing in the business, which is also exciting. So, yes.
Yeah. And you touch so many people also. You touched me all this way out here.
I'm happy to hear this. I was just like, what? But I'm so happy. Thank you.
No, it's great. I love following your work.
Boniso Mislani is a publicist, publisher, and marketing professional. She is my guest today. And apart from the amazing work she does as an entrepreneur, Boni is also a great sharer of her fitness journey online. And this is what we discuss next before getting into her personal story, as well as the Shades and Layers rapid fire.
You share so much of yourself, which brings me to your personal story.
I do. I do. Yes.
Yeah. So, I mean, you come from the Eastern Cape. You talked about your educational background. Yeah. But, you know, let's talk about the people who have impacted you. And really, you could give credit to why you are where you are today.
Yeah. Oh, man, there are so many people, so many people. There's a lady called Rihanna Hankin. She's more a mother. She listens to everything. I call her about everything. Like, Rihanna, this or that. I'm not feeling well.
Right.
Whatever. She's like that person that my go-to person for everything.
Oh.
There is Anele Mdoda. I always say, Anele, if Anela likes you, will never be out of a job. Never not have a job. She is amazing. She's giving. She's generous. She's funny. She's just
very
lovely.
Funny.
It's so lovely to know, and also someone great to learn from. I've known Zynga for a long time. I'm 33. I met her when I was 23, I think.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah. Cool.
And she's been a constant reminder of what I want to be in my life. And also, she's very kind, very generous as well, very, you know, attentive to people. And those are qualities that I take with me every time. And also, I learned this from her, how Nunush is run and how we don't do, you know, the scandal, the malicious stuff. That was from her. That was a lesson that I got from her. I used to write for her. And her late sister, Yolisa, oh, she was such a gem. She was the person who would be like, I don't want this written like this, change this. And it's just like, oh, God, okay. So she made me a better writer.
Right.
Made me a better
that's
writer.
Amazing. Yeah.
Yeah. Other people, I've had my aunt Tammy. Tammy has been such a constant in my life. She's my friend. She's a lovely lady. Yeah.
Oh, that's so nice. That's great. And it's all women. I love that.
Yes. Surrounded by such amazing, amazing women. And it's interesting because now I feel like I've got so many male friends. There's like a shift of sorts. But before, it's just always been women. And I love that for me. And it's always older women. And Thembisa Makgele, she is my soul sister. Losia Cooper, the people that are slightly older than me, who I always go to for advice, people who always hold me and tell me that I'm fine. Yes.
That's really great. Losia Cooper. I remember her.
A gem. Yes.
A gem indeed. Yeah. And the other part of yourself that you share so generously is your fitness. Oh my goodness. Beast mode. How did you get into CrossFit?
Well, I was going through something. I was feeling very, I was like at my lowest. And my other friend, Scott, said to me, ma'am, if you don't do something about your life, you're going to die and we're going to bury you and move on. And I said, oh, thanks.
Okay.
That's cute. And he's like, find a gym. And The very same day after that chat, I went to find a gym. And I went to a CrossFit gym and I never looked back. I'd never been to a gym before. I didn't want to participate. I was just like, why do I really need this? Until I got to that one and I was like, this is fun. This is exciting. I think because I'm the kind of person I love the uncomfortable things. I like the uncomfortable stuff. And I always describe my workouts as more violent than if it doesn't leave me too tired or leave a bruise or anything, it's not really my thing. If you take me on a hike, so hiking is too chilled. Hiking is a bit chill. I want something that's going to really challenge me, challenge my mind and my body. So it's become a lifestyle now. It's become a thing that the first thing I do is go to the gym. I wake up, shower, go to the gym. So everything else around my life is centered around the gym. If I have to travel, where am I going? Where am I going to stay? Is there a gym around that area? That's how my life works. If we have to have a meeting, I have to go to the gym first because that matters to me. That makes me happy.
Right.
Yeah.
Nice. Wow.
So it's not really about the body. And I know people obsess about bodies and all that stuff. It's not really about that for me. The body is a bonus, thank God. But it's all about my mental health.
Right. Yeah. That's how you keep it together.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, great. And I see you're into pole dancing as well.
Yeah. Oh, what a what a painful thing to do.
That is strong work.
you have to be so strong for that thing. But it's fun. I just do it just for the fun of it. I don't take it as seriously as I take the other stuff that I do.
Right.
And also it's good for my confidence. You know, you walk in there, it's every woman, body shape, body size, whatever. We're all there. We're all in our underwear and we're just having a good time. I just love the community.
Yeah.
And we learn together. Yeah. I just enjoy it. It's a lot more fun. But also people have their own opinions about, you know, what they think it is. It is a spot.
Yeah. Well, yeah, exactly. I mean, whatever.
It's just training. I love it. I love my teachers. I love, you know, they're such fun people. Yeah.
If you had to summarize your life in a memoir, what would you call it and why?
What would I call it? If I were to summarize it, I would say something around being blessed, but I'm trying to find the right, a nice, sexy thing to give you, right?
The headline. What's the headline?
Let me summarize it for you, but then maybe you can find the right title for it. I haven't really had an easy, beautiful life. You know, I've had like tragic moments from an early age and I've had to grow from those moments. I think a big part of why I am the person that I am and I'm very selective of the things that I get to do and who I do things with has, you know, stems from those things and trying to make life better for other people because mine was not, you know, an easy thing. I lost my mother when I was an hour old, I think. You know.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that. Yeah.
A lot of losses. So I've had a lot of trauma. And I think everything is around trying to create a space where people are not as traumatized as I am and not as scared to leave. Because I feel like a big part of my teenage life, my early 20s, where I was terrified. I was scared of people, scared of saying what I mean, you know. But I've then found my voice and I'm, you know, I feel alive and I do all the things that I care for. So, and also the women that I've mentioned have made it easy for me to flourish, to be better, to dream, to want better for myself. And they call me out when I step out of line. So it's been, I'd say that God has been so kind and so gracious to me. I've, in as much as, yes, those things that I had no control over happened, I've been blessed to make, you know, better decisions for myself. I've been blessed to have a career that I love, to do fun things, meet amazing people, to, you know, I have a beautiful life.
Yeah.
I really have a beautiful life and I don't have the stresses that I had or that many people would have. I don't have debt. I don't have a lot of problems that people would have in my age.
Right.
Yeah.
Amazing grace.
Thank you. Even though they'll think it's maybe like a gospel book. But, you know,
something along those lines.
Something along those lines, yeah. Yeah, sure. It does that journey. Yeah.
And if you turn your story into a movie, who would you pick for the lead actress?
Willow Smith.
Yes. Okay, I see that. Yeah.
You know, about Willow Smith, absolutely yes. Or who else? I'd say Willow.
That's interesting. No one's ever picked Willow Smith. Interesting.
Or maybe if there was a whiter version, I think Miley Cyrus. That's what my therapist likens me to. You are the Miley Cyrus of all my clients. And I say, why? Like, you defy everything. That's the norm. And I say, yeah. Why should I? I mean, I don't live to conform. My life is, you know, what makes sense to me.
Absolutely. Walk your own path. Yeah.
100%. Yeah.
That's great. So is there anything else that you'd like to add? Any advice? Maybe to someone who looks at your career and says, I want to be like her.
I'd say read as much as possible. Research what it is that you want to get into. So if you want to get into publishing, if you want to be in publicity, you want to work in marketing, in radio, TV, just do a lot of research. Arm yourself with knowledge. And I think ask the right questions. Find the right people. There's always somebody who will listen, who will help. And also just be curious, go for it, and not also like don't hold yourself back. And I think the biggest thing is embrace every layer of who you are, every part, the ugly, the beautiful, the ones you're not so sure of. Embrace every bit of who you are, because when you show up as yourself, people will embrace you, and the ones who don't, they don't really matter.
Nice, that's really great, and I'm glad you also mentioned that you have a therapist.
100%.
There's still a little bit of stigma. I mean, I think it's more acceptable to speak about mental health in general,
I've been with Sandra for 6 years now. I've been with Sandra for 6 years, and I see her even when I don't have a problem, because those check-ins are so important. Am I making the right decisions financially, mentally, you know, with my career choices, with the men that like me, you know, you know, those kind of things.
No, so for sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
We all need a coach, you know, someone who can switch between coaching and therapy. That's great. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's good. So where can people find you if they want to learn about your work with you? Give you money.
Yay, give me money. I love that part. You want to give me money? So please find us at nunush.online on Instagram. My email address is bonnie@azania.co. And Azania_public. Yeah, that's the PR company. Yeah.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for sharing your story and your time. I really appreciate it.
Oh, it turned out so nicely. Like, it's so nice. Thank you.
Yeah. I try and make it easy. It's always fun.
I had a lot of fun, but also it's you. Thank you.
No, thank you.
And that is all from me this time around. What a pleasure it was talking to you, Bonnie. Thank you so much for sharing your story. And thanks to you also for listening. If you liked this episode or it resonated with you in some way and you think somebody else might like it, please share it with them. Don't keep it to yourself. I'm Kutlwano Skhosana Richie, and until next time, please do take good care.